This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 444-7200. Carlos Griego and his team will be ready to go. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. I sometimes, as a talk show host, I sometimes am unreasonable, and I'm going to be unreasonable today. Our guest today is our friend Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation. And, Paul, you have 1 hour to summarize everything that's happened in New Mexico since the last time you were on 1 month ago.
That is a funny, funny, funny one there, Jim. We do a podcast called Tipping Point New Mexico every week, and we recorded the conversation that I have every week with my co-host on Monday, and I was back over there today for a special interview that we just did about media censorship of conservatives online, etc. And I told the co-host, you know, we had enough happen since Monday that we could do another 45-minute conversation about everything happening in New Mexico politics. It is obviously a busy time. New Mexico's legislature is really cranking up, but there is no doubt that the biggest issue top of mind for myself, and I think everybody in at least the APS service area or non-service area, so to speak, Albuquerque Public Schools, that is really questioning the commitment of that particular entity to educate our children. And that's the big issue that obviously I wanted to talk about today.
And we read about the Board of Education with APS voted 6-1 to allow what they call limited in-person groups, but otherwise remain in remote schooling for the rest of the school year.
That's correct. Of course, I believe since we last talked, the governor came out with her State of the State address. Maybe we had that conversation right after it happened. And she put a date of February 8th out saying that hybrid learning, which is essentially half the kids in school one day, half the kids in school the other day, and doing virtual the other times, but certainly a big improvement considering the virtual environment we've been in since really last March in Albuquerque, and that was her, you know, goal for school districts around New Mexico. More than half the districts have achieved that. We knew Albuquerque Public Schools was going to be a challenge, both due to its size, but especially the influence of the teachers' unions and just the liberal demeanor of those kinds of folks in the system, et cetera, Albuquerque Public School School Board. And sure enough, after a two-week delay, which by itself, if you're in an emergency, I consider this nothing short of a crisis, an emergency for our children, and then you don't have enough capacity or gumption or guts to have a meeting within the next week. You wait 2 weeks to have a meeting and then tell everybody, sorry, you can't have a school even half the time hybrid model. I think everybody in APS service area should be extraordinarily frustrated. And I assure you, Jim, mm-hmm. I and my wife are extraordinarily frustrated right now. Normally, you know me, I take kind of the policy losses and the political situation in New Mexico and like water off a duck's back, even frozen ice as we are in today's Albuquerque area. But this one I take much more personally, partially because I have two kids, one soon to be in school. And when you start messing with my kids, man, that's when I get a little fired up.
And, Paul, I think we all feel that way. I'm indirectly involved in this fight a little bit because I've kind of taken up the mantle of getting kids back on the field, getting back to after-school activities and different things. And as we talk today, I want people to have in mind the correlation between the public education department, which is mandated you can't return to extracurricular activities, that includes sports and band and all of those things, until you're at least in what they call the hybrid mm-hmm. model, which you've already described. I can't find a correlation between the two. Why is it contingent? You could right now have cross-country runners. You could right now have all kinds of variations of different sports. You could have football. The data is available from states from all across the country. I mean, we're one of only, what, four states that are not playing football in the country. I know California has not been playing, mm-hmm. and it's devastating students. So now that APS has decided we're not going to go away from virtual learning, I'm appealing to the New Mexico Public Education Department to reconsider their stance and try to get kids back on the field. And there is a way we can do this safely.
So, Jim, there's a lot of layers to this onion to unpeel, and it starts with the fundamental problem predating COVID-19, which is that we have a one-size-fits-all, this is the way it's going to be, take it or leave it, situation in our school system. Yes, we've had charter schools crop up. Yes, we've had other options. Yes, you can pay the money to send your kid to a private school. But ultimately, when it comes to the public education system, it is under the thumb, both of the governor and the APS school board. And they said that they had a survey. I don't think I participated or my wife participated in it, in which 50% of the parents said that they wanted their kids back in the classroom. Now, teachers were slightly higher in opposition to that, but it doesn't matter. The fact is in a private sector free market system, 50% of the parents in a massive district like APS could make that choice for themselves and their own kids. That is not available to them, and that is a fundamental transformational issue with regard to APS and generally public education in this country, but especially here. So where does that fit into athletics? Well, you understand the governor is saying, well, we got this carrot here. It's called athletics. We want to get these kids back on the field, but you got to go into the hybrid model first. That's a one-size-fits-all prescription. Now, parents, a lot of them with athletes in their house are saying, well, I want my kid in the classroom. I want my kid on the playing field. But because of decisions made by APS, that can't happen. And that is a fundamental problem with this whole system as it exists and predates COVID-19. I agree with you. There's no scientific evidence. There's no hard data showing that if you can't do X hybrid learning, you can't be on the playing field. Why? It doesn't have any justification. It's not about the science. It's just about, I think, the governor trying to use that incentive to push the districts to move forward. Obviously, that was not enough for APS. And now our kids not only are unable to be in the classroom through the end of this year, they're also unable to take the sports field and the playing field. And that's just, you know, a double negative. Thirdly, and this is the real, you know, I've been homeschooling my kids. My kids are a little bit younger. Sports isn't such a big deal for them within APS, although I feel your pain. I'm concerned about what school is going to look like fall semester next year, because, you know, now we're talking about schools that are essentially completely closed to students for in-person learning, going in a span of 2.5 months from that to possibly full in time, 5 days a week learning. Does anybody think that is going to happen in a rational and reasonable fashion? I certainly don't. And I'll make it one step further. That's why my wife and I spent yesterday evening looking at homes in Rio Rancho, looking at school districts in Rio Rancho, and looking at charter schools that are not chartered through the city APS public schools, but through the state, because state public schools have the freedom. I don't think the district public schools, even charter schools, have the freedom, and charter schools are public schools. Anyway, sorry, I'm going to rant and rave, but we're all going to channel our inner Rush Limbaughs here, and we're just going to have humor about the situation, but we're going to hold the powers that be accountable the best way we can.
Paul, one of the reasons I'd like to invite you on the show is because you have alternatives and you have suggestions how to do this the right way, and not just with this issue, but any issue. You don't come on the show and just criticize. So there is a solution, and this is, as comedians often imitate our former president, George W. Bush, this is not rocket surgery. This is one of those things where there's easy, complete logic. And you've mentioned a couple of times in this first segment things that are true prior to COVID. Let me read you something that I posted on Facebook. I think you saw it. Is it true that interscholastic athletics and activities, this is prior to COVID, are used as effective tools by educators to motivate students in the classroom and provide social experience as part of a well-rounded education? And the answer would be yes. Is it true that coaches, activity sponsors, and parents can support classroom teachers and underachieving students through team sports, peer motivation, group activities, support systems, etc.? The answer is yes. Is it true that students who fail today using the various remote learning models that, you know, nobody had experience with those? I'm not criticizing those. I'm just saying there are students that are failing. Is it true that students who fail today using these various remote learning models would be more likely to raise their grades and learn if they could participate in interscholastic sports and activities? The answer is yes. These are not questions you can even debate.
Mm-mm.
Is it true that interscholastic athletics and activities can be conducted safely with the application of best practices established by organizations like the NBA, the NFL, the NCAA, and the National Federation of High Schools? The answer is yes. Is it true that interscholastic activities and athletics will relieve stress and help treat mental illness, taking a toll on students and their parents? The answer is yes. So I look at the public education department. I look at data, and we've talked about us being at the bottom of every good list in the country, and one of those is we are literally last. According to the Annie E. Casey Foundation and their Kids Count 2020, we are number 50 in the country in education. Here's my question for you. Mm-hmm. Are the public policy decisions being made by the APS school board going to enhance the education for our students?
I don't have to think very long on that one, Jim. Obviously, no. None of this is being done in the best interest of our children. And if there is one fundamental lesson that we all, as parents, adults, policymakers, decision makers, voters, need to consider, it is that neither the unions nor the bureaucrats at school districts, most especially APS, but in general, these people do not have your child's best interests in mind. Educating your child may be the third or fourth or fifth thing on the list. And this isn't just APS. We're seeing this out of the Biden administration in Washington, D.C. We're seeing this in districts across the country, although other districts have been able and willing to open. And I have friends in Ohio who have been open since day one, this fall, last fall. And, it's infuriating. And I think people who know me, people who listen to what I talk about on a regular basis can hear a little bit more anger and frustration in my voice than maybe they normally do.
So the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. Tough job we have, because this really is inflammatory. This really just gets parents. You mentioned battling for your kids. You'll do anything for your kids. And I know there's parents at home that, you know, they're both parents are working. They've had incredible hardship having this virtual learning model where somebody has to stay home. They've lost income. They've lost all kinds of opportunities. Maybe in some way it's been a silver lining to spend more time with your children. But the bottom line is our kids need to be with other children. And I think it's a perfect solution if we stay in virtual learning to get them involved in interscholastic activities and athletics as a substitute. We're going to be back with more with Paul Gessing. We'll hope you'll stay tuned. We're going to bring up all kinds of things. I joked at the beginning of the show that he was going to summarize everything. Don't forget we have a New Mexico legislative session that's in progress right now, and there's enough material there to take the next, 10 years talking about. Mm-hmm. And I know, Paul, you're not concerned with the life issues, but boy, the things coming out of Santa Fe are just devastating.
Personally, I am. But obviously that's not the role of the Rio Grande Foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to talk more about the Rio Grande Foundation and Paul Gessing. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard to their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to a family member or the state. Our goal is always to show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the staff. For more information, go to our website, acch4kids.org, or call 898-5520.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified qualified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for a mortgage loan, maybe a refinance, or to purchase a new home. The team at Indigo Mortgage will give you a clear and concise loan estimate. Give them a call at 836-5700 or reach Ben Lucero and his team at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation, in studio with me this afternoon. Let everybody know, Paul's a regular contributor to the program, but I want to remind you the Rio Grande Foundation is a nonprofit. Love for our listeners to help him out as they take advantage of all the information he has on riograndefoundation.org. That's a fantastic website. It's a nonprofit, nonpartisan research institute dedicated to increasing liberty and prosperity for all New Mexico citizens. They do this by informing New Mexicans of the importance of individual freedom, limited government, and economic opportunity. That's a mouthful, but that's what you're doing.
We're trying. It's a challenge, man. I'm not going to lie. It's this state's never easy, but boy, we are busy as one-armed paper hangers over here at the Rio Grande Foundation with all the stuff going on.
Well, and the whole political landscape has changed so much. I'm going to ask you what I think kind of a hard question, though. There's some pressure somewhere upon, you know, maybe it's the APS school board, maybe it's the PED. I don't know where the pressure's coming from, but I suspect it's coming from the teachers union, Paul.
Yeah, they would be part of the equation. Now, my mother was a teacher at Catholic schools growing up, and she worked in the private education environment for a very long time. They don't have unions in Catholic schools, as you might imagine. But the difference is that, you know, public schools do. They're not only a private body, they're a body that exists theoretically to educate your children, but they are part of the government and they are a monopoly. And that's the real issue. I don't have a problem with unions. I know that this is going to sound crazy to some of my left-wing friends who might listen to this. I do not have a problem with unions. I have a problem with unions in a monopolistic environment when people can't opt out. UPS and FedEx both have union members. They compete like heck in a private market for market share, and those union members have to play a role within that environment. Sometimes they go on strike, sometimes they have concerns about workplace safety, and they perform that role. What I really have an issue with is, and FDR opposed the creation, Franklin Delano Roosevelt opposed the creation of government employee unions, because you set up a situation where the unions work like heck to elect the politicians they like, and then they fund them, and then they get money back from the government, your money, my money, taxpayer dollars, and those unions have disproportionate control over what happens. So government unions, like the teacher unions, are particularly harmful. I often say that I don't have a problem with teacher unions if you give me full school choice. If I can let those schools exist and do what I want with my education dollars, I don't care. The unions can do what they want because they can't control me. But what we have now is no option for parents and families. They are at the mercy of these unions. And what I was going to say about my mom and people who teach, they did a study of kind of risk-taking by profession. They looked at, I guess, everybody from astronaut to politician to retail worker. You know, the most risk-averse group of workers, professionals, is teachers. Now, that's just a reality. And so it's not just that the unions exist. It's that they, I think teachers do have some genuine concerns. There are some genuine concerns of some teachers, but the unions are using this as a political tool to get more wages, to get more benefits, to flex their muscles and show the power they have over the rest of us. And that's what I think is really so frustrating and devastating about this.
Paul, we're not going to talk about this right now. We're going to talk about it in our last two segments. But there's another issue at hand here, and that is the land grant permanent fund, which is largely funded by the oil and gas industry in New Mexico. Of course, we just had an election. The Democrats basically have the House and the Senate and the White House. About the only branch of government they don't have is the Supreme Court. And that would be also true in New Mexico, except they do have the Supreme Court mm-hmm. in New Mexico. So here we are faced with Joe Biden. Essentially, the money that goes into the land grant permanent fund comes from people, oil and gas industry, leasing public lands and paying into a fund. And then this money is invested, and we can talk about all those issues that have to do with that later. But basically, there's a lot of money in this permanent fund.
Mm-hmm.
And that money is allocated specifically to education. But our governor and former Democrat governors in the state of New Mexico have used that fund as kind of a, you know, just a slush fund, if you will, to fund things when we're at a budget deficit. Now, mm-hmm. the oil and gas industry has recovered pretty well in like the last 90 days because oil prices have gone up and there's been a little increase in production. But the leases and things now in Santa Fe are being limited. So we're going to talk about that mm-hmm. in the second half of the program. But this is going to end up really affecting school districts like APS.
If it lasts, yes, it definitely will. And already, according to a letter sent by, this is the state of New Mexico's Secretary of Energy, Minerals, and Natural Resources. Her name's Sarah Cottrell Probst. And she said in a letter that's publicly available, I'm reading it off the Washington Times website, but you can find a copy online. And it said that already people with drilling rigs, oil and gas companies are moving out of the state of New Mexico into states like Texas because they want to avoid. There's an issue in New Mexico. It's an issue in the United States. It's an issue around the world. Political uncertainty. When people putting large quantities of money up and investing them don't know what is going to happen next week, next year, whatever, they are very shy about doing that. And you know, Texas has a very small proportion of its geographical area that is owned by the federal government. In New Mexico, it's closer to 43%. And when Southeast New Mexico, where we produce that oil predominantly in the Permian Basin, when you have that uncertainty coming out of Washington, the Biden administration, where they've put a moratorium on leases of oil and gas, it is going to be a huge problem for us moving forward. So how it all shakes out, I have no idea. I can tell you, we didn't even talk about this in the show notes, so I'm popping one on you. Deb Haaland, our own congresswoman here locally, she's still in that seat, even though there's already machinations about who's going to replace her because of special election would be imminent, assuming that she gets confirmed, and that hearing is starting on Tuesday in the U.S. Senate in Washington, D.C. So we're going to hear a lot about Deb Haaland in not just the New Mexico media, but the national media. And she is a radical. I didn't think Biden would come out so strong against oil and gas right away. He did talk about this stuff, but politicians talk about a lot of things. Deb Haaland is a true believer. She would love to eliminate the oil and gas industry immediately. She is very, very anti-oil and gas, and she's going to be in control of this whole situation. So I don't know where this whole discussion is going. I just know it could be very difficult for New Mexico moving forward with this ban in place with Deb Haaland as Interior Secretary. It's going to be very interesting.
And, Paul, I would say that there's probably a lot of Native Americans that are involved in employment with the oil and gas industry, especially up in the Farmington area.
Absolutely. Of course, Four Corners has gotten a double whammy. Thank God that coal-fired power plant was still around and producing electricity this week when places like Texas are dealing with what they've been dealing with this week. But also, yeah, natural gas is produced up in Farmington, a limited amount of oil. That's all going to be impacted. I'll do one better, though, for you. You know, a lot of tribes have land that also has oil and gas underneath them, and you can't do any better, and I use that in parentheses or quotes, than to find poverty in America today than to go to a Native American reservation. And a lot of that, the worst poverty that we see in America is on reservations. But the ones that have done well, it's either gambling or oil and gas. A lot of them have oil and gas underneath their lands. And that has been one of the ways that they've gotten their members out of poverty. So all of this is just, it's so intertwined. And the anti-oil and gas attitude of our administration in Washington, but there's legislation moving through the legislature to ban fracking, SB 149, Antoinette Sedillo-Lopez, who wants to replace, I might add, Deb Haaland as the congressperson from the Albuquerque area. She's a radical left-wing Democrat. So, it is.
Well, Paul, you're providing
unbelievable.
You're talking about information now. You spend all your time publishing this information and making it available on RioGrandeFoundation.org.
Yep.
In the hopes that people will be educated and that they will use this information to be educated voters. Since the election has passed, what do we do with that information today?
Well, there's no such thing as past elections. Yes, elections come and go, but we're staring in the face of a special election for Congressional District 1 because I think it's like 90 days when Deb Haaland vacates that seat. If she goes to Interior, then that seat is open and there's a clock that starts. And I know that already both parties, Republicans and Democrats, are looking for, they're vetting their replacements. So that campaign is going to be critical. For starters, we have APS school board. We talked and I rant and raved in the first segment about APS and their school board. Well, I think there's four potentially and we don't know exactly, but, school board elections now, remember not too long ago, they were like in March and they were kind of an odd time. Now they are part of the general election situation. So coming this November, we will have school board elections and I think three or four candidates who are up for reelection on the school board. And boy, I hope we get some good candidates and people just say, you're endorsed by the union? Okay, I'm voting for the other person. And then the other one is the city. We haven't talked too much about the city. Old Tim Keller's getting off scot-free right now because so many other people are doing crazy things. But the city of Albuquerque mayor and city council are up in November as well. So forget all about November. November might as well be ancient Egypt for all I'm concerned. It's all about looking forward. Obviously, right now, the main issue is the legislative session. We have tons and tons of different bills, priorities, things that we're watching, mostly opposing, trying to push back on in the legislature right now. We're about halfway through with the 60-day session as we stand right now.
And, Paul, we're going to talk about the legislative session in our last segment, but I want to bring up something before we take our break at the half hour. About Tim Keller. We've had this craziness with Chief Geyer resigning as the chief of police. There had been a steady decline in crime in this city for 2 years under his mm-hmm. direction. All of a sudden, we have a settlement with the DOJ. Chief Geyer resigns at the request, I guess, of the mayor, and all of a sudden, crime is skyrocketing. What is going on in this city?
Well, I can't say that it's driven by one person or another, whether it's Geyer or the new brass in charge at APD. What I can say is that I talked to KOAT Channel 7 a few weeks ago, and they did a story that just aired this week in which they said that since the Department of Justice signed an agreement back with the Berry administration, we're talking 5 years or so ago, that crime, violent crime in the city of Albuquerque is up 53%. Now, this DOJ settlement involves the federal government essentially overseeing the police force and creating a new set of rules and managers for Albuquerque's police department. And I'm not saying all of this is all terrible, and I'm not even saying that the increase in crime is being 100% driven by this settlement situation, but it's the management, it's the political lack of will to address crime issues, it's the judiciary not keeping people behind bars. The spending that we're doing, $20 million since they signed this order, that's diverted from hiring police officers, managing those officers, putting resources in their hands. And we would just be a lot better off if we had someone in charge who was able to and willing to get us out from under the DOJ and then really focus on crime issues as priority one. There are a lot of priorities for the city of Albuquerque, but crime and safety has got to be, I think, if you polled city of Albuquerque residents, it's at least 75%, maybe closer to 90%.
Paul, I will say this about the statistics you just talked about. In New Orleans and in Seattle, Washington, the DOJ was involved in their police departments and overseeing them and watching them just the same way the DOJ has been here in New Mexico or at the Albuquerque Police Department. Both of those cities have had exactly the same results as New Mexico. And I know New Orleans has now gotten the DOJ out of their hair and they're now moving forward and crime is being reduced. So I definitely think the participation of the DOJ, all the paperwork and all the things, sure, hey, we needed to make sure that we had better trained officers. We needed to make sure that we had issues of racism and those kind of things addressed. We needed to make sure that our officers probably received the best training in the country. I'd love for us to be at the top of that list. If you're a police officer in Albuquerque, if the Albuquerque Police Department or the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Department or Sandoval County or any other police department in the state of New Mexico, I know it's true with the state police, we ought to be able to say we have the best trained police in the state. But in the same breath, we ought to be able to say we back our police better mm-hmm. than any other state in the country. When we come back, Paul Gessing will talk to us a little bit more about what's going on in this fine state of ours. We want it to get better. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Snead, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. If you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque. I'm Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com. Or 505-884-8584.
At Creca Law, we believe in making things right when things go wrong. If you are injured, you shouldn't have to go it alone. You deserve someone who will listen to you and fight for you. We believe that you deserve to protect your future, protect your family, and protect your loved ones. We believe in challenging insurance companies and standing up to bullies. We believe that David can beat Goliath. 843-7777.
The Creca Law Firm. Righting wrongs, protecting your future. The Creca Law Firm. The CRECCA lawfirm.com.
I'm Rob Snead, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You get a better deal and a better experience. Every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or just come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. We want to thank Dave and Holly Slade at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors for being sponsors of the programming, both on KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or reach Holly or Dave on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. Paul, we really do appreciate our sponsors around here, and we appreciate you contributing to the program and supporting what we do. RioGrandeFoundation.org. Talk to us a little bit about your blog and how people can access that as well.
Yeah, go to heirsofenchantment.com in addition to RioGrandeFoundation.org, but both tools are very relevant right now. We are really tracking individual bills at heirsofenchantment.com. You can go read our testimony, and very few bills, maybe none, have passed both houses at this point. We're dealing with bills that are in the middle of their process of moving through the 60-day session, just like we are in the middle of the 60-day session. And we're trying to track some of the most important and generally worst, although occasionally, you know, there's a bill like the 90-day limitation on the governor's powers. HB 139 is that one, but there's also a constitutional amendment, which I believe is a HJR 7, and there's a Senate version, all to limit the governor's power under these emergency authorizations, where she can control the entire state by herself and give the legislature a seat at the table and say, you know, after 90 days, we need to be brought in and be able to help make policy, not just the governor, whoever that is. So that's something that's going on. Heirsofenchantment.com, Rio Grande Foundation, we're tracking at our Freedom Index bills, rating them plus or minus 8, and then you get a readout of how your legislators are voting on the issues at the Freedom Index. So
one of my legislators I looked was at a minus 56, Paul. That's not good.
That's not good. That is not good. And chances are, if they're at that point already, they will only get worse unless a miracle happens and they suddenly realize the error of their ways mid-session, but I suspect not.
Paul, we were talking a little bit about crime, and HB 4 is a bill that you wanted to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, that one passed the House this week. It is a bill co-sponsored by the Speaker of the House, Brian Eagle. So, not surprising that it passed the House in short order. The Speaker in any given legislative body tends to be pretty quiet about passing their own bills and introducing them. They tend to sit back and manage the process. But Egolf is an attorney. He seems to support more lawsuits. HB 4, the New Mexico Civil Rights Act, would do that. It would create more lawsuits. Now, there's a lot of talk about a concept called qualified immunity, where police officers supposedly have the ability to commit crimes and get away with it. That's not the case in New Mexico. It may be the case elsewhere, and it's a complicated concept that I'm not going to go into all the merits of. But police officers in New Mexico do not have qualified immunity. What we're talking about here is essentially opening up local governments around our state, whether it's City of Albuquerque, Bernalillo County, San Juan County, Lee County, other places around the state, if they are perceived to be mistreating someone, it's opening up new avenues for lawsuits. And this is a huge giveaway to attorneys. Egolf's an attorney. I'm not going to say that he's doing this for his own benefit. There's obviously politics at play, but it's going to cost estimated $20 or so million a year. It's going to make it very difficult for some of these rural communities to get, you know, insurance and pay their bills and hire police officers and public officials in their areas if they can suddenly be held personally liable. And I'm talking about non-police officers. It could be somebody working in social services. It could be a prison guard or a jail guard. So there are law enforcement aspects to it, but it's definitely a problematic piece of legislation that at least needs to be amended and changed, if not reconsidered entirely.
So you're talking to a group of people that are you know, faith-oriented. They're people that believe God is in control, which I do very clearly. And I kind of want you to tell us, Paul, what can we do? Is reaching out to our legislators, going to the legislative website and finding out who they are and calling them or sending them emails? You can go to your website, the Heroes of Enchantment. You can kind of review the bills that are going through. I know that there's a lot of life bills, which, again, you guys don't really address those. But, you know, right to life bills, there's been some absolutely devastating bills that are about to be approved by the Senate and the House, and late-term abortion being among one of them. So I want to encourage our listeners to actually reach out to your legislators. Be kind. You know, be professional. I put together, you know, a couple of things that, you know, I think people ought to pay attention to a little bit. A couple of scriptures you might want to read are James 1:19-20. It says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but must everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak," and here's the important part, "and slow to anger, for the anger of a man does not achieve the righteousness of God." And then number two, "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, that you may know how you should respond to each person," Colossians 4:6. So again, I'm just appealing to everyone to be professional. Contact the New Mexico Public Education Department leadership. Talk to Ryan Stewart. Talk to Katarina Sandoval. Talk to Gwen Perea, Warnament. Talk to Timothy Hand. Talk to Aiden Delgado and Vicki Bannerman. Find out why they are, you know, trying to make a requirement that schools get out of virtual learning in order to participate, for students to participate in interscholastic athletics. Call your legislators about right to life issues. Call your legislators about HB4 and these bills that seem to be encouraging lawsuits and encouraging division. It's overwhelming, the number of things that not only we could talk about today, but that are being considered right now in the next 30 days in the legislature.
No doubt about it. Yes, to answer your initial question, whatever the issue, no matter what your concern, consider looking up your legislator if you don't already know who they are. And I encourage you to keep a little cheat sheet or spreadsheet somewhere that has your legislators' names and email, because you have a House member, you have a Senate member in New Mexico. You go to nmlegis.gov. You can plug your address in and find that if you don't know that information right now. And of course, we're dealing with this extremely odd virtual session. So the bottom line, baseline, is drop your legislator an email or a phone call. You can find that information. There's a listing of all those legislators. When you find out who they are, go there, look for their email, look for their phone number, send them an email, give them a phone call, whatever it might be on whatever topic. As you said, be respectful, be informed, be brief, you know, a minute or so, or reading equivalent of a minute or so if you're emailing them. And that's the first thing. Now, if you're really dedicated, if you're really concerned about an issue, you can go onto the internet, on this legislative website. You can find out where the bill is going. You can look up the committee schedule, and you can quote unquote show up, virtually via Zoom technology in the committee hearing and share, again, brief, respectful thoughts for those legislators. And that's where we are at this point. In the process, we're dealing with the session. It is right in front of us. It is not a normal session, and you have to be somewhat flexible and realistic. We're doing this all day, every day, where we're going and talking about different bills that are happening as they move through the process, sharing testimony. You can find it at heirsofenchantment.com. We've got a ton of testimony up there. You can rip it off. By all means, take what we've written, plagiarize the heck out of it, you know, change a word or two and send it off to your legislators, because it's all about volume for these people right now. And then at the end of the road, when we have our next legislative election, not this November, but the next one, make sure you know who you're voting for. Make sure your neighbors know who they should be voting for, who's representing your values. That's where the Freedom Index comes in. And then get out to vote. Make sure everybody you know gets out to vote. And if you don't get, like the candidates that you're voting for in the legislature, please run for office. It would be, it's the way to do it. That's the only thing that's going to change the system.
Absolutely. Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation in studio. We're going to come back, and when we do, we're going to talk a little bit about censorship with big tech and media, news outlets, and so forth. And then we're going to hopefully get a little bit of a summary of the legislative session from Paul. Not much more to do, only 3 or 4 hours left of information. We'll have to jam into 15 minutes. We'll be right back.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Early Christian education should glorify God by providing an orderly, nurturing, and stimulating atmosphere for students exploring the world around them. Calvary Preschool strives to do just that. Each child who attends grows mentally, physically, socially, and spiritually as they interact with a loving, caring group of adults and peers. Registration for the 2021-2022 school year opens on February 16th. Visit CalvaryChurchPreschool.com today for more information. That's CalvaryChurchPreschool.com.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things, about life and relationship with God. Life doesn't always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KNKT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. And now, KNKT presents a Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., KNKT will present Through the Bible verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith and Chuck Missler. Skip Heitzig, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We'll be rotating through the Old and New Testament, so drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KNKT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Take your seat Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 107.1 FM.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
The Rio Grande Foundation, Paul Gessing in studio with me this afternoon. I hope you're enjoying this. I always enjoy talking to Paul because you just know so much about all of this, Paul, and it's overwhelming. I know to me it's overwhelming, so I can imagine that most people that have not been involved in researching politics, it's time to get involved.
Absolutely. If you care about the state of New Mexico, you want to live here, have a job here, raise your kids here, this is the time because we're seeing what these policies really can do. The moderate Democrats got waylaid in the last primary election back this summer. The November election didn't go very well for anybody in the moderate to conservative side on a variety of issues. The city has been governed in a progressive way for a while. The courts are run by progressives. This state needs to dramatically change and evolve if it is going to move forward for the benefit of its citizens, its economy, et cetera.
Paul, I was watching before the show today your Tipping Point episode, number 276, with Christian Roby of the Media Research Center, and you were talking about censorship in big tech.
Yeah. Again, this is an issue that's in many respects on the periphery of what Rio Grande Foundation does, but Christian Roby is involved with managing a coalition called the Free Speech Alliance, and Rio Grande Foundation is a part of it because we've seen the censorship of the tech industry. And I mentioned Rush Limbaugh earlier on. You know, Rush was kind of the first foray for conservatives into alternative media. Of course, it was talk radio at the time. And then that developed to the internet. Sites like the Drudge Report came along and other websites now. And then social media hit. And now, you know, while they're still useful tools, and I'm on Twitter at P Gessing, P-G-E-S-S-I-N-G, and the Rio Grande Foundation is as well on Facebook and whatnot. And you watch that probably on Facebook. There's a lot of great ways to engage with good content online. These companies are also, censoring conservative voices. And I'll mention one. My kids and I, we love Star Wars. We love The Mandalorian. Gina Carano. She is, well, now formerly an actress that was on that show. If you watch it, Jim, she was, she's an MMA fighter. She is the kind of woman that would probably, kick one of our butts first and then the next one after that. She's tough, tough lady. And, she was a conservative on Twitter, on social media, and said some things that didn't make the people at Disney very happy. Stuff, nothing that would be any different on the opposite side if a progressive or a liberal said those things. She lost her position there as that actress in that show. And now Disney has the right to make those decisions, but I went ahead and canceled our Disney subscription, Disney Plus, at the house. It's a decision that definitely had some controversial aspects with my three daughters who love the Disney shows, the Disney princesses. But I think that's just an example of how we need to fight back in this country, in this state, against that kind of censorship. And yeah, Rio Grande Foundation, we are Foursquare on social media. You can find us at Rio Grande Foundation, .org, and also on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot. We've been getting engaged with Parler, which that's another case of media censorship, where Parler, kind of the alternative conservative media to Twitter, was taken completely down. They lost the server provider. The people who hosted that website, Amazon, said, no, you can no longer have your information on our website. So there is a lot going on in that area, too. We can't fully function and oppose that effectively. We're a small organization based here in Albuquerque, but Christian was kind enough, and the Media Research Center folks, those people do a great service for everybody trying to push back on some of this censorship and you know, just the slant of the media bias in our country. And I'm glad you watched it. It's available at Facebook Live until and unless they take it down. The podcast will be available at yet another website, tippingpointnm.com, which, you know, we also post those at Heirs of Enchantment. They're the conversations we have with these national experts sometimes. They're always posted, but sometimes they're national experts. Sometimes they're New Mexico experts. Whatever it might be, I'm very proud of the conversations we have with those people as well to bring them in. And, you know, guys like you or folks in New Mexico media then can say, hey, I saw you on Paul's podcast, and get even a bigger audience for their message, because it is important to push back on all manner of different fronts.
My engineer just texted me something that it's kind of interesting. It says, I saw in the news today an employee of a literary agency was fired when it was found that she was online using Gab.com and Parler.com.
Yeah, and those are just two social media sites. Of course, Parler is pretty well known. Gab is another one. I haven't ventured into that one yet. We've been kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with Parler. They finally seem to have gotten a little bit online, but you have to have such tremendous bandwidth to put these sites online, because they can be used by hundreds of thousands or millions of people all across the globe at any given moment. And you have to have robust computing technology to do that. And so Amazon clearly is one of those companies. They have the server farms. They have the money. You'd be surprised how much of that business they control. And, yeah, for whatever reason, they just said, nope, sorry, Parler's not going to be on. This was after the January 6th riot situation. We're being told that Gab has its own. So good for them. And, yeah, it's yet another business where conservatives need to kind of start moving in their own direction. It's not just conservatives. Anybody who is concerned about cancel culture and being pushed out of the public square. And as much as, you know, older folks, and I'll use this term very gently, but older people may be frustrated, annoyed that it's no longer the op-ed pages of the Albuquerque Journal. And those are still relevant. We still fight our battles there, but it's also in social media and other news outlets online. And they are the public square in many cases these days.
You know, I think there's an argument that the progressives would say they're fighting for people to all have a voice. And then there's a conservative group that says we're fighting for liberty. And those kind of sound like the same mm-hmm. thing. But I can't help but go back to our forefathers and George Washington. And I know you teach history a little bit, so you can give a little clarification to this. George Washington was a person that had so much power. He could have been the king of America. And he didn't do that. he said, this is the kind of government we're going to have. I'm going to serve for a short amount of time, and then there's going to be younger people and new people come in, and we're going to refresh this government every so often and have a peaceful transition of power. And then, of course, we've talked about, you know, the writing of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And you're really defending, Paul, the Constitution, because the voices that we are hearing out there and the people that are censoring conservative voices, they're not out fighting for your liberty. They're not fighting for you to have a voice. They're trying to cut off your voice, make it so nobody can hear you.
Yeah, that is the sad and frustrating truth. And, you know, I do debate liberals and progressives and other people on all sides of the political spectrum who I might disagree with on Twitter when I have the time to do said things, because we are very active. Like I said, the Rio Grande Foundation is engaged in these tools. And I think it can be a good learning experience to have those debates and discussions. And one example is you saw articles blaming exclusively renewables for what happened in Texas this week with the power outage. And then some other people came up with some information showing that it wasn't just renewables. There were actually outages and issues across their energy portfolio, including natural gas. So you can have some genuine learning. There is a lot of garbage on social media, a lot of people just kind of ranting and raving and not in bringing facts to the table. But you know from talking to me that whenever we engage, it's always based in a factual situation. And we can have those discussions, and it's a good way to learn and engage with other perspectives. And it should be an open format. And unfortunately, those companies often kowtow to the hard left, progressive, anti-speech folks. And it really detracts from the experience and from the political dialogue in this country, in this state. It's something that we all need to be aware of and try to push back on whenever we can.
But, Paul, it's not just limited to these political issues.
True.
You know, the funny thing to me is I have some creation scientists on from time to time on the show. And these are guys that are world renowned. They're physicists, they're molecular biologists, they're people that are eminently qualified to talk about these issues, and they will frequently address evolution. And what is called the theory of evolution really has never even risen to the level of science. For example, I posted something some time ago about mutations. One, they're rare, unpredictable, harmful, genetic burden, meaning that diseases occur as a result of inherited traits. Mutations are pathological. Organisms that mutate are rejected, so they don't reproduce. And then finally, there is nothing added to DNA when there is a mutation. Information is actually taken away. Well, these are all contrary to there actually being evolution. So I post this online. I have one person that happens to be a friend of mine that objects to it, and he's a former biology teacher. So I responded, and I said, look, if you can tell me, please, show me where there is a genetic variation or some information added to the DNA. And I'm bringing this up just as a metaphor of what we're talking about right now. He could not show me anything refuting what I said, yet he made an emphatic statement that what I said was totally untrue.
Well, I hate to say this, but that is a political issue too, because everything is political, including 2 + 2 = 4. So we can have these arguments and discussions on social media in person, so now, at least over a beer at a restaurant indoors without freezing our tuchuses off outside. But yeah, it's great to have those arguments wherever we can have them and discussions, as long as they're well-informed and, you know, people bring facts and information and respect to the table. And those are great conversations to have.
So what are you anticipating, Paul? You got 1 day left in this week and another 3 weeks left in the legislative session. What's coming up?
A lot of big government, big spending bills. Hopefully they don't raise taxes, do anything fundamentally harmful to our state economy. But we don't know which of the salmon swimming up the river are going to get caught and which ones are going to make their way to finish. And we're just going to try to do our best to inform everybody of that.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Jim.
Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.